Our gospel reading, our New Testament lesson for today, comes from the 16th chapter of Mark's gospel. I'm going to read the first 8 verses, and I'll say a little more about it in the sermon, but most biblical scholars believe that the gospel of Mark ended originally with this 8th verse that you shall hear at the end of this reading. Listen now for God's word. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What do you say to the pastor at the door following the worship service? We get all kinds of comments. Most folks just shake hands and say hello, or nice service, or wasn't the music beautiful, but that isn't all. A female pastor I knew once said that you think you've preached your heart out and people come up to you and say, "I just love your hair." A retired seminary president recalls that after his first sermon in the first church he served, an elder came to him, put his hand on the young pastor's shoulder, and said, "Not a bad sermon for a youngster. But I'll tell you something. You were through about 5 minutes before you stopped." Another churchgoer said to the pastor, "Preacher, every sermon is better than the next one." Think about it for a minute. But my favorite of all time are the words one parishioner said to George Buttrey, pastor of Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church for years and years, one of the greatest preachers of the 20th century. And at the door one Sunday, a woman said to him, "Dr. Buttrey, ever since my husband lost his mind, he gets so much out of your sermons." Ever since he lost his mind. What do you say to the pastor after the service? One Easter, in a previous pastorate, some 10 or 12 years ago, a young man who was visiting in church that Sunday said this to me after worship, "I'm not sure. I'm just not sure. As we went forth having our faith renewed by the overflow crowd, the glorious music with the brass sounding loudly, and the message, he was only able to stammer. And to our assured Christ the Lord is risen today, alleluia, he alone said, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure. Don't get me wrong, I appreciated his candor. Wish I could have heard him out, but the line at the door was long, very long. And I didn't catch his name, and I discovered that, like so many of you, he hadn't signed the pew pad. But my guess is his name was Mark. I know you've come to this Easter service from many different backgrounds, many different points of view, differing needs and attitudes. Some of you have come because someone asked you to come. Others have come because you're home visiting family, perhaps home from college. Still others have come out of habit. You're always here on Easter. Still others have come for the music. But I'm not so concerned about that. What I am concerned about this morning is not how you have come to Easter, but the way you will leave Easter. I don't mean by what you say to the pastor or one of the pastors at the door following the service. I do mean how you will live in light of the Easter good news. You see, there's more than one door out of this church. There's more than one way to depart from the cemetery. There's more than one path from the empty tomb. And you see this in the way the Gospels speak of Easter. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all agree it was the women who dared to venture out to the cemetery on Easter Sunday. Mark says there were three women. They made their way through the dark and deserted Jerusalem streets, quiet at last after a weekend of violence and crucifixion. They risked much. After all, the soldiers who had crucified Jesus, who had been ordered to guard his tomb, might do the same to them that they had done to Jesus. Yes, all the Gospels agree that the women were the only disciples left after Good Friday. Everyone else was in hiding. But even these women knew that they were disciples of a dead master. We weren't standing all that close, they said to one another. But yes, we could see he was dead. Definitely dead. And it bothered the women that Jesus' best friends had not even given him a decent burial. Joseph of Arimathea, a member of the same council who had condemned Jesus to death, was the only person to come forward to offer cemetery space for Jesus. And so on this forlorn Sunday morning, these three women headed to the cemetery to perform the final act of devotion for their departed friend, to dress his decaying body with sweet-smelling spice. And when they got there to the cemetery, to that place of death, the stone before the door of the tomb had been rolled away. There was a young man sitting in the tomb. Luke says that two of them were there in dazzling apparel. Matthew says they met an angel, but Mark just calls him a young man dressed in a white robe. He gave them the news, the startling, unexpected news. Jesus of Nazareth has been raised. He is not here. Go, tell his disciples that he is going ahead of you. Matthew says that the women ran back to town with great joy and began to tell everything that they had seen and heard. The risen Lord even met them on the road on their way back. And Luke says the women ran back and excitedly told everything to the apostles, who considered their testimony an idle tale until Jesus appeared to the men in the village of Emmaus and again at breakfast. But you see, Mark tells the story differently. Mark, believed to be the oldest of the Gospels, ends his Easter story abruptly, even awkwardly, ambiguously, particularly in comparison with the other Gospels. The last words of Mark's Gospel are words about the women who have just seen the empty tomb and heard the words, "He is risen, he is not here, he is going ahead of you to Galilee." And Mark says of the women, "And they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." And then the Gospel of Mark ends. What a letdown. What an abrupt ending to such a spectacular story. Where did the women go? What happened on Monday? No wonder that by the second century, helpful preachers added a few more verses to the ending of Mark. Your Pew Bible has both a shorter ending and a longer ending to Mark's gospel, but most scholars agree that Mark originally ended here at verse 8, so they went out and fled from the tomb, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, many of you know that Eastertide is a wonderful tradition and time to worship here at Wildwood Presbyterian. We look at all the post-resurrection experiences of the Lord each of the seven Sundays of Eastertide, and begin today and will continue the next 7 weeks. But friends, in Mark's gospel, Eastertide would end today. For Mark tells of no further appearances, no supper at Emmaus, no reassuring words to the women on the road to Jerusalem, no breakfast at the beach. There's nothing but this abrupt, stunned, stupefied, silent, fearful ending. They didn't know what to say, says Mark. Words failed. They felt fear. But I suspect that it does touch a chord. I'm betting that Mark does a better job of expressing how a number of you feel about Easter than do the more elaborate, more refined, more assured words of Matthew, Luke, or John. If you want the resurrection explained to you, says one commentator, if you want the Easter story done in Technicolor, with Dolby surround sound, with words of earnest conviction and certain words evoking poetically the return of the robin in spring, forget it in Mark. The three women have only to tell, if you can get them to tell it, of Easter fear, of trembling, of silence. They had come out to the tomb to show their last respects for poor dead Jesus. They had come to put a few cosmetic touches on his dead body. And after all, we hadn't followed him very well as disciples when he was living. So now that he's dead, it's the least we can do. And throughout Mark's gospel, there's this breathless, ceaseless account of Jesus' activity. It always goes, the most used word in Mark is immediately this, immediately that, and Jesus goes here and Jesus goes there. There was no time to catch one's breath, to figure things out, to sit back and reflect. Isn't this, then that? Now with him dead, lying out at the cemetery, at least we disciples who could never quite keep up with him, who always had trouble figuring out what he was up to, where he was headed next, now we know where he is, out in the cemetery in a tomb he is, and shut in by a big stone. Let's go out to the cemetery and pay our respects. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man who said, "You seek Jesus? He is not here. He has been raised. He's already out in Galilee. Go tell the disciples that he has gone on ahead of you." They couldn't obey the directives of the young man at first to go tell, at least not immediately. Later they became the first evangelists, the first to share the good news of Jesus' resurrection. But what they immediately felt was this fear. Once again, Jesus had given them the slip. They had come out to the cemetery to pay their last respects, to give him a decent burial, but Jesus would not stay nailed shut some sweet memory. As always, he had gone out before them, out ahead of them, into the future, out of death, into life. It scared them half out of their wits. Have we come here this morning as those women came to the tomb? Have you come to pay your respects to Jesus, Jesus who lived so long ago, Jesus who was such a wonderful teacher and who said and did so many wonderful things, but really is no more? You may have come to nail down your faith, to be reassured once again that you are certain, but that is not the way the risen Christ does business. What he offers is not always certainty, but more often wonder, awe, stupefied amazement. So Mark never did get around to putting the finishing touches on his gospel, because the whole point of the empty tomb is that the story is open-ended. Like the women at the tomb, we see something, we hear something, but nothing has been explained. We must decide. He is going on before us. He isn't in some tomb. He's out in Galilee, and if we come to the place of death wanting proof, we get no proof. What we get instead is this: life. Life even beyond death. Abundant life. A living Lord who is way out ahead of us. And those well-meaning second century preachers who added those reassuring verses to more satisfactorily end Mark's gospel weren't all that misguided. Because that's what each of us must do with Mark's story of the women at the empty tomb. We must finish the story for ourselves. in our lives. We've been told that he's not here, that he will not stay nailed down, sealed shut, all tied up and secure. And so if we would follow him, we now know he will not be held by death, and we will not be going to places of deadly certainty. Instead, we must go forward into the future, out into whatever Galilee it might be for you, where you must go on Monday. That's where he is. That's where he'll meet you. And that good news is more than a little bit scary. No wonder the last word of Mark's gospel is, they were afraid. Now, what are we supposed to do with a story like that? I don't know. That's really our problem. We came here looking for Jesus this morning, but we just missed him. He's not here. He's gone out ahead of us into the places in our future to change our lives if we will let him forever. So finish the story. Go, tell, share, and live the good news. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. In gratitude.